I'm sure that if anyone understands the anarchistic in people, I understand it better than all. I can understand and comprehend why people like to be independent and not to participate in any kind of group or collective decisions or group actions. I can understand that. But what would your world be if you didn't have something which you could revolve around, which became a nuclei for a purpose in a disordered world? Capitalism has been bent on seeing that we have no guidelines, that everyone becomes cynical and distrustful, except of the big things. And even though they may engender a little cynicism or skepticism about the big things, they know that there's nothing you can do about the dynasties of power, the terrible tentacles of power that reach out from Washington and from every news media that represent what the power structure wants to say. And I was looking up at one sister in the balcony, and I could not help but comprehend where she was. I saw her as an anarchist type of person, and I wondered why she makes a specialty in talking about things or running down things, that she does not participate more fully with her consciousness, because she's a very brilliant woman, a very sensitive woman. And I thought how miserable she'd be if she were able to bring about the anarchy that she really wants. How miserable it would be if you had nothing, your life was void and without meaning, when you know as much as you do. Now, certainly without socialism, all this would have no meaning. Without that as a goal, without that as an end, this would have no meaning. I could understand why people would have some skepticism, although I wouldn't take any joy away from people that are healed and all the miraculous things that are done, which are amen and true. There's no question about the authenticity of the work that I do. It is empirically proven. It has been tested by doctors, and we have had confirmed statements by hosts of doctors. So it isn't a matter of whether you believe or not believe, but I personally would have to be motivated with more than that. But the thing that I cannot understand is why anyone would pull away from the enthusiasm that is engendered in this house when we know that we are building a collective movement that can resist the overriding influences of fascism. Now, you know, if you did not know, it'd be different, but you already know the dangers, you know the threats. There's no way you can go back to the place of apolitical consciousness or unawareness. You're already aware. You've already become knowledgeable of the facts that are about you. Films like that we saw about the DuPonts controlling the state of Delaware, or Rockefellers, the state of New York. That's not new to you. That's old hat. That's absolutely self-awareness to you. So what would you possibly do if you were to defeat this group? If your defiance, your own skepticism, your own cynicism, and your own rebellion and anarchy, what would you possibly do? You couldn't live with yourself knowing that you had destroyed the only solidarity, as Mayor Johnson said, Deputy Mayor Johnson, the only solidarity that lists, that is alive in the land, is in People's Temple. That's what he said here last week. Now, what would you be? So some of you find it difficult. I notice you look at others who you think, well, I saw some of the minds looking at others. Well, that person has committed treason, and that person isn't just what they ought to be. So I don't like them dancing. Does that excuse you? If you're not a hypocrite, then you should dance more than the hypocrite. You should shout and clap and rejoice more if indeed you see someone as a hypocrite, and maybe you don't see them aright. Maybe at least they're struggling with their self. Maybe they're making an effort to overcome, but you may be just finding a cop-out. You may be just looking for a rationalization for not doing anything. Because you see, we are saying something very true that is very sincere and very real. We are saying that God is not dead, but he's very much alive. God means a purpose. God means a causality. God means a creative purpose in our life. We have that. Jim Jones is just a reflection of that great principle. He embodies that principle. He's made that principle real. He has made it completely, honestly, real in every one of our lives. He's never betrayed the integrity of divine socialism. So we have a God. God is not dead. He's very much alive. I can feel him in my hands. I can feel him in my feet. I can feel him all over me. Oh, God is God. God ever changed. I tell you, God is God.
I want that one that the sister brought forth. She brought it forth.
Let her bring it forth. Again, let her bring it forth. Bring it out of the consciousness. Never be afraid to pull back from something you start. Even God can do that, so you as humans can do it. God's not dead. He is still alive. God's not dead. He is still alive. Feel him in my hand. I can feel him in my feet. I can feel him all. Mighty God. Whoa. Mighty God. Thank you, sweets. Thank you. Thank you for demonstrating unity. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Peace, everyone. Peace. Peace. Blessings to you and peace. We have three that are out of control there in the corner. One little girl, that's a young lady that's dancing back there, and she thought her father had killed her mother until I told her by revelation something that was locked up in her heart. And so she's got something to rejoice about. Some of those never danced before, so I would not stop them. Some of them I've never seen move, and they've been having a glorious time in this holy revolution. Blessing. Peace. At this stage of the revolution, it is most necessary that we have such joyous occasions. You might say, for one reason, as a sublimation to our great hostilities against the common enemy. Peace. If we were not to rejoice, city of San Francisco, and all of the agencies of the fascist bureaucracy that is tuned in on our frequency, to all those that are listening in Washington, be they CIA or FBI, and private provocateurs and the local police, to all those that are interested, if we were not to release this at this stage in the revolution, we would tear your city upside down. You can be very grateful. In face of the violence, I feel a bit personally aroused, and I'm always universally aroused, but I feel personally concerned because tonight, though he did not bear record to me, one of my sons was nearly shot in the Mayflower, in the supermarket down the way, as it whisked by his head. And he came up to me and he said he wanted to tell me. I said, tell the people. He has not yet told the people. But I know, because if I had not been there in the intervention, he would have been destroyed by a bullet. And so I find my aggravations at a system that provides the little people with alcohol, and the little people and the defenseless people and the insecure people and the less privileged and the oppressed people with liquor and guns, and will give them free license to kill one another of the same color of skin. So I have a great incensed feeling. I might say that God has a vengeful feeling. God has an aggressive feeling. God has an angry feeling. Because if I had not put my eternal hand of socialism up, this young man would have been shot straight away, and he would have been left at best a vegetable. But he is not so. And though he has not personally borne record to me, I know, because I was there when the man was assaulting. When the man was assaulting the security guard, I was troubled in my sleep. I had just 10 minutes of sleep, but I awakened to see the visual situation, and I put myself there as a shield, as a buckler and a shield, as a defense. And you might say that my people and their God are getting overly tired of being a defender. And if you continue to offend the morals of man by your racist institutions and your warmongering and the making of jellies and bombs and chemicals and defilements to destroy people who have no more guilt than that their color is of a different complexion than the honky, if you don't stop this, I will change my defense to an offense.
I would like to know, I've heard you say that Jesus' spirit went into the gardener. I think I heard you say this.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to know what happened to his body in the grave. Was the body immortalized and changed into the gardener, which was seen at the grave? And if so, or was it the spirit came out of the body and went into the gardener, which was already, the body was already prepared?
To reflect on that point of view, that metaphysical consciousness, it's something like an identical twin. It's often said that identical twins feel the same things, experience the same kind of physical and physiological processes. So at the time of Jesus' departure, he died just like all people die, disintegrated in atoms, atomized just like everyone atomizes. At that particular point, the gardener had reached a level of consciousness, understanding, comprehension, empathy, the same degree that he was at that particular stage. It would have been 100-fold for that hour. 100-fold in that hour might be 30-fold today, if you understand what I'm saying. Because the consciousness raises. The 100-fold degree, or the 100th percentile, of course, changes with the more of truth and the more of evolution. But actually, the story thereon, from there on, about the resurrection, is where King James's myth begins and the fables begin. It didn't happen that way. Death has never been conquered at any generation except this time. No time has a cold body been brought back to life except under the auspices of me in this body. The rest is myth. So it was like, it's like the transmission of light or the transmission of energy. The mind contact was there. So the identical spirit, the identical understanding, the identical authority was transposed into the gardener. The same amount of truth was there, the same unfoldment, the same degree of dedication, the same revolutionary consciousness. And consequently, because Mary and Martha was looking for a man and were to know no man after the flesh, not even Jesus, because they were looking for that same body, they missed the 100-fold for them, and they departed from the faith at that particular juxtaposition. That's where they lost their understanding. We are to recognize truth. We are not to follow Jim Jones because of the way he looks, or the way he speaks, or the way he sings. We are to follow Jim Jones because of the character that he represents, the fruits of the Spirit and the fruits of knowledge, the fruits of understanding. Thank you. I thought I'd take care of the first part.
Thank you. Now, the second part is, I would like to know, in this body of ours, can we raise our consciousness to the spiritual level where that we can be immortalized?
Indeed. In this age, it is within the reach of our evolution and our dispensation, not only to glorify the body or to immortalize the body, but to, in retrogression, to start a reverse process to go back to the period of youth that we wish. That in the confines of scientific possibility today, that man, if he will stop this infernal competitive system called go back to the period of youth that we wish. That is within the confines of scientific possibility today, that man, if he will stop this infernal competitive system called capitalism and build socialism and just utilize the truth that I have already demonstrated through the fields of empirical study and science, man, woman will not have to go through the process called death, and even aging can be reversed.
Thank you.
Father, I have a question that I'd like to ask you. This evening, I was listening at the news, and I wonder, why is it that Billy Graham said today that President Nixon would commit suicide? And two, the next one, ask you both of them, about the waves in the ocean. It was broadcast this evening, they're so high until they're washing up into people's houses at Malibu. Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering, is it destruction in the land or what's happening?
Of course, the ozone level, the
stratosphere, the entire Earth's equilibrium, the Earth's atmosphere is so grossly affected that there will be all kinds of natural disaster, tidal waves, earthquakes. There are many who feel that the ice age is beginning, but more recently the thought is that ice is melting and that this ice will cause an inundation, that the water will rise and even cover most of the continents of the world. Man has so messed with nature because of his love of money, which is the root of all evil, capitalism. That's what we mean by capitalism. That's the word that signifies the love of money, which is the root of all evil. Because of man's desire to make a profit, he's ruined everything he's touched. He destroyed, they're even now so terrified that the higher level ozone concentrations is broken, and that's why they wouldn't allow this high-powered stratospheric jet to be marketed. Man puts a little bit of curbing on his nature, a little bit of curbing on his appetite, but not enough. All the fumes we put out from industries that are not required to refine their industrialization process, all that pollution going out is affecting the very layers of the protective covering over our air. And when you affect that, the sun breaks through at an unnatural degree. It affects the temperature. It causes imbalance in the weather. It causes all of these earthquake phenomena. We have a great concentration of heat. There may be a significant parallel between concentration of heat that we're having now and a very grave earthquake condition. Topographical area of the earth is affected. This entire course of our planet is affected. So indeed, the water that is increasing on the banks of Malibu are no surprise. Neither are the earthquakes. And this is to be expected. It's a prophecy of all world's religions and all scientific thought that in these days, in this age, earthquakes in divers places and all kinds of tumult, famine, and pestilence. That does not cause us, or should not cause us, to be willing to sit down and say there's nothing we can do about it. Because if you do, then you lose your soul. Because you must work out the plan of salvation. You must fight to save this earth and make the kingdoms of this earth, the kingdoms of hell, become the kingdoms of God, socialism, and our Christ. You must do that. And you can't sit back on your buffer and say, well, I'm just going to sit back knowing that there's nothing you can do about prophecy. This is going to take place. Man can change nature. He broke through with all these miracles, just as I was speaking to Christine. Miracles could be broken through in a matter of weeks that could stop cellular death. It's within our reach to stop the cell from dying. It's within our reach, I know, for cells to be recreated, to create youth, to reverse the process. It's within our reach that we can create new members of our bodies. We can create organs in a unnatural setting, an artificial setting, to create the kind of organ that we needed. We could create everything except the mind. The mind, of course, is eternal. In other words, we could actually have an incubation place where their body parts could be made for some who have tired bodies, but they want to live on and do not want to die. They could have that mind transposed in a new body, and a body shaped and fashioned. It's within the possibility, genetically speaking, for man to conceive a picture of what you look like at your youth. And if you didn't like the way you looked at youth, then you could look like somebody else. This is where we are today, on the verge of the greatest miracles ever seen. So certainly all this can be stopped if man will stop his competitive drive, his aggressive, aggrandizing, capitalistic urge. All this animalism can be stopped. And so we must not sit back like other churches and say, well, it is prophesied. King James, the Bible said it so. Well, King James also told so many lies that we will not be excused if we sit back and say, this is the way it's got to be. We must work as if there was no one left to work, not even a God, no one but us, that we must work to bring a heaven on earth. As for Billy Graham is what you call, he rides a bandwagon. When Nixon was in charity, He was always with him, golfing with him, saying he was the greatest president that ever came to this country. Now Mr. Nixon is losing favor, and the tide is turning against him. And so he wants to get on the bandwagon to say that Mr. Nixon is committing suicide. Obviously, Mr. Nixon is committing suicide. His phlebitis, all this is arranged because of a sick and tormented mind. That's why you that have had no power should not envy false power. You should not envy the power of the rich or the power of crooked politicians, because Mr. Nixon is going to be lower than a dog's belly before it's finished. Or I should say the belly of a swine. Obviously he's committing suicide. If he doesn't do it with an overt act, which I would not at all be surprised if he does that. But if he doesn't do it that way, he'll do it by just simply killing himself from the neck up. His thoughts are killing him because he wanted power. And he had the power. And he had everything he needed to whip this country into a dictatorship. Except when the brother asked a question over there one day, I saw a way through it, because we weren't ready for that kind of a dictatorship. And when I said, he will not do it, he will resign because of pressure on his children and pressure on himself and on because of his health. And I said it, and I not only said it, but I prophesy according to the measure of my faith. I make my prophecies come to pass. I send my energy and make them come to pass.
Father.
Thank you, Amy. Any other stimulating question?
Father, I wanted to, I heard on the news about the two twins with the old hearts. Why did they have these old hearts?
Why did a twin have an old heart?
Yes.
You mean the Siamese twin you're speaking of?
No, it come on the news today that it was two girls, that one of them was jogging and she died. And then the other one died 10 days later doing jogging because they had old hearts.
Well, I would suggest that we develop an acumen for political trends more than that. It gets into the field of karma. It gets into the field of where that person may have been in a former life cycle. Everything in the universe has its order. We believe that it is evolving to a very definite symmetry that will lead to a perfection conclusion. We are Marxian nonviolent socialists that believe that man will evolve to perfection. But in the evolvement, it's a terrible ordeal. And people reap what they sow. Much parents reap what they sow. We all reap what we sow. Whatever we sow, we shall also reap. But I would rather not involve myself into that particular situation, to use intuition to reckon with someone who is not a follower of God in the body today. I would rather not give you a precise definition, because I always speak the truth, and for me to give you a precise definition means that I would have to study the matter very acutely. I would say that, as it was with John the Baptist, you see, who knows why John the Baptist had to come back after being Elisha or Elijah, but the scriptures say he did. Both Muslim and Christian scriptures say that he did come back as John the Baptist. Was beheaded because the king made a compromise with the woman, not even knowing what her request would be, and King Herod's request at the end of the dance was the head of John the Baptist. Then John the Baptist still came back again and is walking in our circle today, in our assembly. He's one of our associates. Why does he still come back? Because evidently he did not learn what he needed to learn in a former life to evolve out of here and go to a higher dimension where there is already socialist perfection. All planets after this are on the scale of total perfection. Mind has complete domination over matter. Mind can cause the body to reappear or disappear. The mind can control the elements in all levels and elevation. The first, second, third heaven are the first, second, third terrestrial plane, which are, if you're interested in that sort of thing. But if you get too interested in that sort of thing, then you will lose the very thing that you want to achieve. Because when you try to figure out the mysteries of the heavens, you will fail the course of passing this earth life, and thus the very thing that you sought, you lost. The last will be first, and the first will be last. So I would be very careful to keep my mind and my attention devoted on a kind of socialistic atheism, that you do good for good's sake. You don't care whether there is or is not a reward, or there is not immortality, or there is not God. You do good for good's sake and good alone, as I have given you in the revelation and that revolutionary dictum that you have of my activist teachings. That should be your motivation, to do good for good's sake, not wondering whether God's going to see you and put up a notch on the blackboard for you or put a little mark down for you, but do good because you know it's right to do good. Perhaps the couple could have, the child could have been someone of privilege and power in a former life. Maybe a Mr. Nixon of sorts in some place and didn't live up to their standard. Who knows? Who knows? Without going into the chart, the study, the actual intuitive process of that unfoldment or that reincarnation. But oftentimes, people who have very much in this life and don't use it wisely, who have much of life's goods and material blessings and don't use it wisely, they will then probably be reincarnated and rebirthed on a very low plane as some Hottentot, some honky Hottentot, not certainly a black culture. Because there's a special privilege in being black in this generation. But they'll reverse in their consciousness if they don't use what they've got. But it's a very dangerous thing to get into, because people then will say, well, people are poor and thus they should be they shouldn't be hindered. They're working out their own karma. They're working out their own reaping. They've sowed bad life in the former cycle or in a former existence. And as a consequence, we don't want to do anything to eliminate their poverty. Then you're only compounding your own problems. If you don't help their poverty, you're going to guarantee that you'll be back in poverty yourself. And of course, the higher way to holiness, the higher way to socialism, would be not to even think that way at all. You help poverty because it's wrong for poverty to exist. You help the starving because it's wrong for people to be hungry. You do those things because it is right to do them. But there are many reasons, no doubt, for everything that happens. There's so many, many strange sets of variables and coincidences that occur that it frightens us. But I still contend that we should act as if there is no loving deity outside of God your Father on the earth, that there is no loving deity of benevolence. For two out of three babies are going to bed hungry, starvation in mounts in every sphere of the world. Nonetheless, no matter how much you explain it, when you start to deal with the origin of man, the origin of human beings, you have to gravely question the sensitivity and love and personal caring of the Creator who was the first cause. A Savior has come. Unto us a Savior is born. Unto us a child that has grown into the maturity of 100-fold has come. The government is upon his shoulders, and he has power, and he has wisdom. He is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Counselor. Yes, he is. But he did not start the confusion. He was a Savior who came after the first cause had failed miserably in his so-called work of creativity. you don't understand it, don't worry about it. Put it on the shelf, and it'll fit when the time comes.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Well, my question's kind of involved. I just hope I can get it out.
What'd you say, dear?
I said my question's rather involved. I hope I can get it out and make it sound clear. I wanted to know originally the difference between trying to help somebody and letting them take advantage of you. And then I remembered that, well, people do take advantage of you. So I know that you, if you're trying to help somebody, you can go that far. But there are people that seems like use others, and they keep on using them. And when you're tired and worn out, they'll just go on and use somebody else. Also, it seems to me that sometimes when you let yourself be used too much, it's like the masochism of women that you've spoken of. And I wondered, where do you stop?
Where do you stop? You don't stop until these that are the chosen in this continent, the socialist ones, the sons and daughters of the Most High, you don't stop until we have turned the world upside down, until the selfishness of man is rehabilitated in rehabilitation schools, until the kingdoms of this selfish world become the kingdoms of our socialist God. We don't worry about those that use us. We are going to be used up one way or the other, and we are out to make a revolution. I understand your thought, Sister Rosingo. It's not easy to let people be a parasitical host on you, to be a bloodsucker. But let me tell you, every dog has its day. It's truly wonderful. You living are going to see the salvation of our God. You living are going to see those parasitical elements brought down and reduced to nothing. You in the land of the living, not in the tomorrows, not when you pass this body, but you are going to see with your own eyes this kind of selfish, capitalistic, competitive greed reduced. You're going to see them cry out for rest, cry out for a resting place, cry out for refuge. You're going to see them because the day is fast coming upon us. Peace, love.
Father, I want to know why when Senator Brooks talked so long, many hours with President Ford, asking him to send the fell troops to Boston to quell the rout. He made a statement that he did not support the idea of sending the troops to Boston to sell the rout. Yet, he rushed hundreds of program soldiers over to the Boston School District with instructions to step up the violence.
You're beautiful and very intelligent.
Thank
extremely
you.
Studious, deeply inquisitive, and for your blood pressure's sake, will you do me the favor of losing 2 pounds a week, because we need
I'll
you.
I'll do my best.
We need you, and I see the future.
Okay.
Take that seriously. Now, secondly, you brought out the contradiction. You know, there isn't any difference between a fascist. If it's a black fascist or a white fascist, if a person supports this establishment and supports the rich rulers that run this country today, I don't care if he's black as Brooke or if he's white like Wallace, they still smell like a skunk. Any black man with half sense would not want to give more power to centralized government, more power to the government, the bureaucracy that could lead us into concentration camps. No one with half sense would want them to come in with their guns, because always these guns, as was exemplified at Kent State, as you remember, these guns of the National Guard, the federal troops, have a way not being turned on against or turned up against those that are the white oppressors, but they end being turned on the students or the black. Senator Brooke ought to go to a psychiatrist and get his mind shrunk. You brought it out eloquently. I couldn't have added anything to it. You brought out his contradictions. One time he says one thing, another time he says another. How could any black man talk to President Ford an hour? What would a black man have to say to President Ford for 15 minutes? I can think of what a black man might do with President Ford in 30 seconds. He was not only a member of the Ku Klux Klan, the Grand Dragons of the Ku Klux Klan. We heard what he said when they were killing our black people, and they've killed three in Boston and beat people half to death. President Ford got on the eyes before the whole eyes of the TV nation and said, well, I don't approve of black people being integrated into the schools. He might as well have given the guns to those whites that were doing it when he said that. He later fumbled around, halfway apologized. But Senator, what would I want to see Mr. Ford for? Only if it were this, to get you out through Babylon and to get you through that old oppressive system as it was in the days of Pharaoh, to get you down and park the Red Sea. Only it's not a Red Sea now, it's a fascist sea. I would park the sea. I might talk to Pharaoh to get you through. But what would anybody want to talk with Pharaoh for? Unless it was to remove Pharaoh. Who's Pharaoh? Anybody that's in Washington today is Pharaoh. They're representatives of the monetary class, the Antichrist system, the love of money, which is the root of all evil. All those representatives are enemies of the people. And anybody with a right mind knows that. And those blacks that are kissing up to them are just as bad as the whites. We are under an oppressive Antichrist system, and we must not be satisfied until it is removed. Here we see today Vice President Rockefeller. They find that he owes $860,000 income tax, or something like that, nearly $1 million. They let him pay it with no penalties. If you owed $800, they'd throw you in jail and throw the keys away. That's why I say, come and go with me to a place over across the sea, where I have prepared blessed places for you, where there is no violence, where there are no white policemen, where there are no policemen with guns, where there are people that are black and white working together in peace and harmony. Let's get out of Egypt. Let's get out of Babylon. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Thank you for your keen mind. When a black person can speak as eloquently as I hear you speak in this assembly, deprived of education, today of the women that are working, 34% of the workforce in California is white. 3% are black. The national average is 41%. 5% of black women are all those that are able to get a job. Black women cannot even get jobs after they get an education. It's worse even with men, surprisingly enough. Deprived of education, brought here to build this country. We built this country with the sweat of our brow, singing the white man's religious songs about by and by, and the sweet by and by, we're all going to have shoes. While we worked our feet to the calluses, we worked our self to the bone, and we built this country, made it what it is, and still robbed every day. Every day we're robbed. Do you think they advertise this church? Look what we've done in Redwood Valley with all the children, the senior citizen children's homes. the vast land, the warehouse full of food for my people. We've given black people dignity. District attorney, a member of our church, all of our people in every department of the offices of that fair county. And we have land and land and land. And that wasn't enough. We saw that the country was still going to be overridden by robber barons and racists that did the same that they did to the Jews they would do to the black and the Indians. So we built a place of 27,000 acres across the sea for all people, white and black. Beautiful homes that you've seen in our movies. We own a boat. We have tractors, and we have all kinds of garden equipment. We have three tractors, in fact, and two bulldozers, and a backhoe, and a sawmill, and our own power generators. We have all kinds of equipment, and we don't even get covered in this newspaper, not a line. But who gets the coverage? Catherine Kuhlman, robbing the people. She, a millionaire over many times, and Ike, robbing the people, taking. The only people that they're going to advertise in this country are people that take black people's money and give them nothing in return. That's the one they're going to advertise. If I was doing this for white people, I would be in the front pages. If I was building all this wonderful new Jerusalem, all this property were being developed by white people, I would be right in the president's guest list. They don't want us to even have what we've set for. They don't want to even give us recognition when we come up against all their opposition and still conquer and get all the things that we've done. They don't want to give us any credit for anything. But with or without them, your God and his family shall go marching on. Hey, yes. We've come through lynch mobs. We've come through shootings. We've come through poisonings. We've come through knifings. They poisoned me before the eyes of the people in General Hospital, said it was enough to kill 10 or 11 horses. They have brought fire to our buildings. They have dynamited and put nitroglycerin under my bus, but for some reason it wouldn't go off. They have done everything conceivable to try to stop this spirit. But behold, I am still sitting on the throne of divine socialism. Behold, I shall do my work, and I shall not finish till the enemies of our Christ have become the footstool. I'll make a footstool out of the honkies. I'll make a footstool out of capitalism. Yes, I will. No church could have this kind of a crowd without a radio broadcast, without newspapers. No church could have a ministry that would fill this assembly, because the little black paper that's owned by the one who calls me the Messiah, the Los Angeles Herald, nobody reads that. No one could have a house full of people tonight with the news media never giving them any attention. We don't have to pay one spot on the radio. We don't have to have a radio broadcast. We don't have to pass out a leaflet. Oh, say, if we're doing this with all the opposition that we've got, what will we do when the worm begins to turn? Look up, daughters. Look up, sons of Zion. Because your redemption draweth nigh. The revolution is about to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. I love to see someone dance for the truth. It's wonderful when people were spitting up cancers and being healed last night. It's wonderful to see someone dance. But oh, how wonderful it is to see someone dancing back there without music. Because the truth is what's going to set us free. To dance for the truth. To rejoice when the truth has come near you. Hey, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory to the revolution, glory to the revolution, glory to the revolution. Oh, I love you. Kiss your neighbor, kiss your neighbor. I love you, I love you, I love you. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, Father, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Father, I'll never forget the truth. Truly satisfied in a great measure that the musician picked up on that. I'm so glad I found it out, because that's exactly what I was thinking, and she started playing it. So we're coming into somewhat of the same mind, you know, all over the place. It's wonderful. Blessed be our God. Blessed be our God and his revolution. Hallelujah, Spirit of Truth. If you don't have any reason to shout, that's your problem. We've got something to shout about. Hey! Big beautiful seeing her dance out here because of the reality of socialism, the reality of God socialism. Just dancing back and forth. She was an invalid when she came to me on her back. Now she's one of the cooks in our beautiful, beautiful toys. It's real, child, it's real. That Mabel Dodge is back in just a matter of days from removal of breast cancer. She never had to have any pain medicine. She was so candid in her comments as a good apostolic socialist. Well, it's okay, my breast is gone. I really didn't need it anyway. That's what comes from these positive emphasis upon the gift, not only to heal cancers I can, but to get you to doctors for medical advice. I have said that a microphone can take a load off of a leader when that leader does not have to deal with the microphone. I can make it work. I can make it work. They're all the same. They're none checked out properly. So we're so grateful to a sister who can do that. To have that surgical operation, she's in advanced years. No one but someone who knew this truth. There she is. No one but someone that knew this truth could do that in a matter of days to hours and be back in the assembly. So positive to all that visited her, so positive. It's okay, my breast is gone, I really don't need it anymore anyway. That's so sweet. We salute you.
I know that my Savior is with me wherever I go. And I was met there, and one of the brothers said, "My goodness, you mean to tell me that you are here all right?" I said, "Yes, my Savior's here." I said, "I'm all right, too. And I thank you very much, my Savior. Thank you."
You're welcome. Thank you for such sweet attitude. Not many churches will emphasize, go to your doctor, when the metaphysician has such power as I have. Not many will say, use the doctor for those things that doctors can remedy. Many will say, give me that money for anniversaries. But we have no anniversaries or birthdays. We do not respect persons in this assembly. We encourage a physical examination regularly, 6 months, no later than annually. If she hadn't been in this church, she'd be dead. Think about it. You see, if your pastor gets up and advises you about what to do for your diet and for your health and for your physical therapy, they won't do it because it takes a good bit of money these days to get proper medical care, and they don't want any of that money to slip out of their pockets, child. So with that said, will you please honor me, honor the truth, by giving. The government is a tragedy, so our offerings are becoming affected by this. Some of you are holding on to money. You better be careful. I just got a survey from Professor Tropp, who's a member of our church, Jewish doctor, who lost all of his family in the concentration camps. They were all murdered. It shows that the military, CIA type of Pentagon mentality, is the most admired organization by the American people in the United States, by both black, white, brown, yellow. First in line, U.S. military. Second, universities. Third, churches, of course. They'd be up there. Fourth, businesses. Fifth, public schools. Sixth, news media. Seventh, the Supreme Court. The only thing that's kept any balance in this country for the black man, he would be disposed of. Even in Switzerland, they took a referendum today, the first of a yet to come, voting as to whether all black and all foreigners would be thrown from their soil. Switzerland, a country that's not known war in 1,000 years and is multilingual and multicultural. As I prophesied, told all those in the council that went all night last evening, it wouldn't go through, but my God, the idea that civilized society in 1975 would vote as to whether they would remove all foreigners, anyone of foreign extraction who had not been natural born Swiss, the idea that any people would vote such, and the same thing is being voted upon in Canada, and the same thing's coming up in England, and as I read to you last night, the unions have already barred all blacks, Asiatics, and Indians throughout the British Empire, the Commonwealth. And there's talk of doing the same in this country. The only reason it hasn't happened yet is because we have robbed people, the rich have robbed, the barren rich have robbed all over the world, and so there's an abundance still here. But it's fastly running out. And as the Depression gets closer and closer to us, calves being destroyed every week, thrown in a grave because farmers cannot feed them, as the famine begins to approach us, they'll do the same to us. So for goodness sake, my precious people, put your money into the promised land, our Operation Hope. Put your money where it'll count, because your money won't be worth a thing if this system falls. They'll revalue, they'll devaluate it, and they'll even reissue other kinds of monetary systems. So your money won't be valuable to you, hidden at home. Or like the man that I rescued last night that had it at home and had it stolen. You saw me dealing with that case last night. He trusted someone at home, and they stole it right out of his own home, his own people that he walked with. No, it won't be good in the bank. Thank you, Professor Rohrer. Way down the list, labor unions are the last to be esteemed. The United States CIA military Pentagon, that's the first. Here it is. Survey. You are amidst a nation of fools. So many laboratory technicians in one of our hospitals, where one of our nurses, one of our laboratory technicians, two of them worked, and their membership's not known. The discussion of race and genocide and murder of black people is as common as discussing the rising of the sun.
in the laboratory in General Hospital, because they do not know that these white sisters are in a black congregation. It's as common as the rising of the sun. If you do not believe it, you can speak to the sisters. I don't want to name them here, but the entire board and elders and deaconesses and apostolic government that was here last night, of some 80 people, can verify what I am saying to the man and the woman, that they talk about it, both of them church people. One of them a French immigrant. One of them Baptist, Mormon, all of them, all different religions, talking about murdering blacks just as common as the rising of the sun. And these are college-trained people with technical educations and liberal understanding. You are in the midst of a dangerous cancer. And the only way for you to keep from dying by the tentacles of this cancer is to uproot yourself and come up, ye people, and declare yourself, shake the dust from your feet, and be ye separate. Be ye no longer entangled with this yoke of bondage, and go forth as Abraham did, venture into the promised land that your father has provided. Give freely. Give freely. This offering are triggered. Certain words, you better watch what you talk on telephones. Certain words trigger automatic big brother computers to listen to every conversation where certain words are used on telephones. What a day. Why don't you get over the jungle where we got a radio and we can turn it on when we please. We can broadcast from our radio station. If we don't want to, we can be silent. Got no phones for people to tap in the promised land. Hey, I like that. Computers, bug calls. Computers, bug calls. Some of you better read a little bit more and you'll know where it's at. Another word for torture. Tells the torture that's going on in the prisons of this United States. Experimentation going on with blacks or whites in the prisons and the old folks' home, the geriatric and nursing homes of this United States. Shows a monument, an English company is making a model of Hitler, and it's selling like it was going out of style. People still looking up to Adolf Hitler. The Germans buying it and buying it all over the world. Look at all pictures about Hitler. People follow them like it was some saint. People like a demagogue. They like someone to tell them what to do and when to get up and how to do it, even if it means that somebody has to be killed in the process. Yeah, it's wonderful. Medical care for the Cuban people, the best in the world, it says. Chinese medicine, fantastically successful. New terror, mass famine, because the oil prices, any country that has no oil, according to the San Francisco Chronicle, doomed to starvation. 100 million persons will starve before December. Another 400 million will suffer malnutrition, and 800 million will die next year. Because only oil-producing countries have high nitrogen fertilizers, and you have to have high nitrogen fertilizers to plant and to grow your produce. We've got it over in the Promised Land, 15 miles from the biggest oil vein in the world. Some will never know, though, until it's too late. Sadly, sadly the case. Bless your heart. All offerings turned in. Let me see every envelope. May the love that prevailed here that healed the cripples and overrode cancer, caused cancers to be passed before our very eyes these last few days, and last night, that caused two to be brought back from the dead, from the jaws of death last night, and I see them. Blessed people. It's wonderful. I look out there and see Sister Walker looking so good.
And I called her out of the process of going into death, the stupor of coma. I called her out last night and I said to the nurses, I said, go have her kiss. Come up, I want to kiss her. She said, you know, when you have somebody walk like that, that's against every medical advice. She said, I don't like to see you take all the weight of that on you. I said, I have to do it to keep my people's faith high, and I will not disappoint her. So up from her stupor, they got her up and walked her and made her walk, and she came up here on her own power, and look at her tonight. Look at her today. Preacher, if you did not know I had more God in me than anyone, you would know it by the two people I got up from their semi-coma, one of them in a coma state last night, and made them walk. Your pastor doesn't believe enough in God to take that kind of risk. He wouldn't do it because he could be sued, and he's so earth conscious, he doesn't believe what he's preaching. All he believes in is anniversaries, pastors, wives, fees, and birthdays. He doesn't believe in any power. I prove I believe in me, the Christ in me. I prove. I've taken the broken shells of bodies. How many have seen me do it? Hundreds of times. Put them on their feet when they couldn't even stand. No breath, no heart. The beat was gone, the pulsation, the vital signs were gone. Put them on their feet. You talk about who believes in Christ, who believes in God. I'm the only one in town that believes in God. My God is different. I must say my God is different, but I do believe in a God that is all-powerful. Watch how they all do. You watch somebody die, and they die all these churches. No one's ever died in my church. They're always resurrected in my church. You watch them when they die in these churches. They run like chickens with their heads off. They have to get doctors, have to get ambulances. I don't move. I do not move because my mind is the mind of Christ. I let this mind be in me, which is also in Christ Jesus. So even though I'm sitting here, yet there I sit and there I stand. I'm here, there, I'm everywhere. There is no space vacant of much, for I am universal, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent.
What's the matter with this microphone?
And I have to be my own megaphone. My own power. It's as if my radio equipment wants to test me out. Or I could say technical personnel wish to test me out. On Thursday night, I had to speak to the Los Angeles Temple filled because the microphones had not been repaired from Sunday to Thursday. But did I do it? Did I do it? Every person heard me. From one end of that building to the next, they heard me. And I raised the people's consciousness. I healed the sick, raised the dead, healed every disease. I can do it with or without mortal cooperation, with or without your assistance. I shall remain your last and only hope. Your Redeemer has come. Your Christ has been made alive in me. Father God. Your love and your devotion stress this fundamental vividly, and you shall be liberated, liberated even as I am. so that there be nothing left in you but God socialism, God principle, God love. There'll be nothing left in you but God. This room, I don't have to touch it, you see. I can, I cannot, to make it work. That is something else. I should not have to demonstrate my power over. Nonetheless, I shall ask so that you can stimulate someone's faith, how many have been healed by me of cancer in this room? How many have been healed of heart disease? How many have been healed from strokes by me, the Christ in me, the revolution in me? How many have been healed of the thing you'll never see so many hands of in any one little church? How many have been healed of blindness? How many have been healed of hearing problems? How many have been healed of kidney and bladder problems? How many have been raised from the dead? Look at the hands. How many have seen me raise the dead? Hundreds and hundreds of times. How many have been given a prophecy that saved you or your loved one's life? Thank you. Thank you. Hands clasped. Luella, who's Luella? I've written down some names already to protect you from. I proved myself enough last night and all this week. But I want to do the emergency work now. Hands clasped. I got it. I have it. Someone put you under a very negative curse, something that I know nothing about because I know nothing of your life and you've told no one here about. Some bishop, W.C. Collins or something of that sort.
Collins, W.C. Yes. Collins.
Pine Bluff, Arkansas.
That's right.
He told you that someone would put something in your water for you to drink.
That's right.
And the condition would start in you and go up your body.
That's right.
And there would be no one to heal you but him.
That's what he said.
And you've had that condition troubling you, and it's been going up and down your limbs and your arms, been in your chest particularly this morning.
Yes, that's right.
Well, he can't heal you. He hexed you, but I'll fix it. And he's in spirit. He's gone. You can see, obviously, that the work is done.
Fill the world wherever I may be.
With her. You better shout with her, because when I take a hex out, you, that's her screaming, because it went out. And if you don't rejoice with her, it'll go into somebody else.
Peace, sweet, I know. Love, dark, cloud may rise.
Hands clasped. Hands clasped. Hands clasped. All right, you keep on dancing. On Friday night in Los Angeles, sister was dancing so much under the power of truth. She didn't stop with music, and if you've got anointing, you'll go right on. It won't stop you. Joe Ames. Who is this? Hands class. Hands class. I sense something that should be said. I know nothing of your life either. You're sacramental?
Sacramento?
You have a loved one, a brother in Bakersfield?
Yes. And
by the way, we're having a Bakersfield meeting this next Sunday night on our way home. We'll be leaving Los Angeles service early, go going to Bakersfield at 1300 Baker Street for a great deliverance campaign in Bakersfield on our way back. So most of you plan to be with us next week. Will you do so?
Yes, I will.
Hands clasped. Now this hand's been trouble in your stomach region and around in the back region.
Yes.
A trouble in your urinary flow.
Yes.
Hands clasped. Well, gonna do this, but Sunday the man's urinary flow was blocked. He came back on Thursday, passed the growth. He passed the growth, and his urine started for that moment and never stopped. Never stopped, never had any more trouble. Now I caused the cancer to pass then. I'm just gonna sweep my hand now. Go to the bathroom. Go to the bathroom. Class standing, preferably. I don't ordinarily ask that you stand. I say follow your highest intuition. And always follow your high intuition. And speak volitionally and inspirationally. Let's not get into the ruts and grooves of tradition. When you stand up here, always have a fresh mind. Don't parrot someone else. Don't speak what someone else is speaking. When you testify, testify to that which you have seen and that which you have heard. You have to have your own vision. And without a socialist vision in this day, the people will perish. So get the pure mind of Christ stirred up in you. Sometimes I hear people saying the same things. Now you know that, I know that you're a unique individual. I love you, everyone, the same. But you're all like a different flower. You're all like a different leaf of a tree. None of you are alike. None of you have the same vascular system. None of you have the same characteristics. You're all beautiful in my sight. Beautiful in the sight of your God. And I ask you to stir up the pure mind. Let the inspiration flow. Think on something that this revolution of Christ has done in your midst so that you'll have the shout that some of these are shouting. When some shout without understanding, oh, how much more you should shout and praise that have understanding. Hands class. To build faith, I'm going to call someone. Someone used a picture of mine. The 8th month of last year, you had pain in your chest and your stomach, and it went away. Matty. Who was this? Matty. Hands class. Hands class. Just something to build your faith, an emergency. Hands class. I'm into a cycle here. Someone else speaks. I've got two. Gibson. Keep the hands class. Keep the hands up. If I spoke the name, Matty. Three of your lives saved. All three of your lives. Bend my hand to do this last
Visions
in my feet
to climb that rugged hill.
Bless you, brother. You had no trouble voiding then, did you? You had no trouble passing. His urine's flowing now, and there's the growth that it passed, going up and down the aisles. This sister here, right here, you had a similar experience with a picture. You had a similar experience with a picture in the month of August. Now, give it to you. This will save your son. Your son, Charles. Take it. Take your hands. Your son, Eugene. You understand what I'm saying? Take the cloth. Put it on your chest in the breast region. It'll save you. Then give it to your son. It's saving him from being killed. Period. One last admonition. Never count on what my program will be. Last night it was extended and the word was made flesh and went on to some degree, liberating us in real socialistic apostolic Christ consciousness. The service is finished, except for the marching past to the altar by the faithful, realizing that the resources are low, and each will lay a sacrificial altar to gain the protection also that they need from this altar that went through the fire. Went through the fire as Reverend Purefoy went through the fire. When the metal of this building melted, so help me, all that's sacred, he was transported out of the fire, and this did not burn, except for one little spot of anointing. And it's very sacred to us, a talisman, but a talisman of usefulness, because it's energetic, it's materialistic, and we believe in the law of materialism. So the transmission of energy from me to you will transpire, and I'm asking some of you to particularly sacrifice 10, 20, 100 pledge, whatever you can do, but everyone bring a bill of some sort. In fact, the Spirit says don't do less than two unless you know what you're doing. So as we march through, the dinner is served, the communion is free. I wish to also say that when people bring their food, all kitchen personnel hear me. I know you've been through an ordeal getting the food. Today it has increased, I'm sure, because of my sermon last night. But when you receive the food, and I want this telegraphed, transmitted to both my secretaries here and Redwood Valley and Los Angeles, each kitchen personnel thank the people when they bring the food. Be gracious to receive those who bring the food to you. I want to say something else. Be still. Peace. Be sure you do not offend one of my little children. Don't push them aside. Don't always try to get them to be silent. Hear what they have to say. Talk to them, communicate with them, because if you were to offend one of my children, one of my wonderful teens of the revolution, if you were to touch one of them, be better for thee if a millstone was hung around your neck and you dropped into the bottomless sea, into the pit.
Yes, amen.
We do not accept the philosophy that children are to be seen and not heard. Amen. We wish to hear from our children, and please listen to what they're saying. They often have wisdom, for out of the mouth of a babe will I often speak, saith the Most High. Out of the mouth of children will I prophesy. So hear what they have to say. Be ye kind one to another. Be ye loving one to another. For God is love. Love is God. That's why I can say I am that I am, because I am filled with love to the utmost.
Thank you,
I'm not an opportunist preacher that loves some differently, or some women separately. I love all of you the same. I let no one put any claim on me. I'm no one's lover, yet I'm everyone's lover.
Yeah.
For I am the liberator. I am the emancipator. I am a savior. Come up out of this apocalyptic age. I have come up out of Zion to bring you the release that you need. So no one has a franchise on me. I belong to all of you, and I love you all the same. And no one can change that. All may change, but the love of Christ, your Father God, in the absolute 100-fold degree, it will never change. All may fail you, but Father will never fail you.
Hey, God. Thank you.
So as they give you the direction, each lay your offering and rejoice, my friends. Rejoice and be glad. Rejoice and be glad. We had a great host that joined the church last night. This is a short meeting. Usually many, many are called out. Cancers are passed. all kinds of public work is done. But the work has already been done, because already 22 people's lives have been saved by my nurses that I know of, besides seven that I have written down here and not spoken a word to. Just today, 29 people's lives that will not be dismissed from this earth are paralyzed, are put in some handicapped condition. Oh, God is God, and God does not change. Come now, come. Last night we had many to join the church. If you wish to unite with the Apostolic Church, the Latter-day Saints, come. You can come from your seats. We'll receive you, and you'll get your passport to life, because we are quite a church. This sister here coming up, getting ready to touch. She healed through meditating to a picture. Her son in the hospital in a hopeless condition. He was let out. This sister right here. Get her name. That's the sister. Get her name. I feel that's the sister. Her life spared this very weekend just by my spirit. Just talk to my picture, didn't you, dear? Just talk to my picture. Mighty God, when she talked to my picture, her son was released from the hospital.
Yes.
You say you don't need the oil, you don't need the pictures, you don't need the candles, you better get them while you can, because they won't always be around.
That's right.
But each touch this altar, it's important to you today. It's very important, because October has its dangers. Synchronized around the numbers that I spoke to you about.